It's weird. You're. We are Diversity and Equity in Education, and I am April Cobb.
How you doing? I am Denise Thomas Papillon. Mrs. Papillon.
And we're excited to be here. As you all can already tell, we're rusty. We're real rusty already. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It will get better.
Yes, it
but
will.
But on other words, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Happy New Year to you, everybody. We're so excited to be back. And I guess we're gonna jump right back in.
As y'all can see, we did get a slightly a facelift or a rebranding, as you all can see. Our logo is still the same, but now we are got a nice background with some good old notebook paper. Because remember, we are hyper focused on education and how that what that looks like, sounds like, feels like around the world. But we can jump right in now, Denise.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a few topics to discuss as we transition and segue into the 2025 year. And we are back. As April said, we're back, right? Education and empowerment in 2025. That's what we're all about, right? So first of all, we're going to reflect for a minute on how our journey has been up until this point with the anticipated changes that are taking place. Some changes are taking place right now. But April, just tell me a little bit about how the past year has been and major changes that you've had. And then I will then also tell about mine.
So for me, from this time last year until now, I can say that kids are still kids and parents are still being parents. And kind of letting, unfortunately, a lot of things fall by the wayside. And I just hope that this year, more parents are taking notice of what their children's educational life is like when they leave home and go to school and, you know, learn how to embrace more of how to support them in that capacity versus just kind of winging it, so to speak. As it relates to personal, I am now in a new position. I went from a classroom teacher, math teacher, for over 20 years, actually over 23 years now. And now I am a community resource teacher, which most people say, what is that? So a community resource teacher basically provides connections, partnerships to various organizations or businesses within the community, bridge that gap between the two, and efforts to meet the needs of the child and their family. So what could that look like? For an example, after doing a needs assessments and identifying what a particular student says, the student body says that they need, or the parents say that they need, we basically look out around in our community to identify as their organization or a person that may offer that particular service, product, or whatever it may be. And we try to develop a relationship to make sure that that child or that family gets it. And a lot of people assume that some people assume it's like a social worker, but it's definitely not that, because I don't have that type of degree. Let's just go there. I don't have that type of degree or work within that capacity. My goal is just bridging that gap between students, their families, and even staff to organizations within the community based upon what the need is and what the service or product or whatever it is that they offer.
Okay.
So that's my newness.
Yes, that's great. Me, for me, like I'm still in there, but you know, we try to get where you at too. But but I do love working with the community too. But for me personally, within the past year, I got married. Wow. Okay. Within the past, so that's the personal thing that happened to me. I'm very, very happy, very pleased, very blessed. You know, just change as they say, life be life in. So you know, one thing I've learned over the past year is that, you know, we're eventually gonna get old as and we got the roles pretty much shift for from child to parent. So I just that's one thing you learn as you there. But I also have, I'm so grateful to have very good friends like the one that you see right there, who also are just so supportive and so strong. Within educational law, I will say this, yeah, you're right. I have noticed this year in particular, how can I say this? There has been an increase, and I guess we're going to get to that, discuss that as we talk about education in general, in just a high number of absences, a higher number of kids who are really not on task or not who are not at level. And it is frustrating. It's becoming more and more frustrating because parents are not understanding there's gigantic gaps and what's going to happen to those kids in the future as these gaps continue to grow. And so that's a big thing. And then of course constant testing. So you know that's not helping either. But you know, we'll get into that as we journey into the rest of this discussion this evening. But other than that, I'm grateful to God we're still alive.
Okay. Yes, we are. Very much so. And we are going to do our ultimate best to stay anchored into our third Sunday of the month.
Yes, yes.
And even if we just pop on and say, hello, how y'all doing? Great to see you. We made the commitment by just getting on. Yes. Just extend us some grace because like Denise said, life is life. It really is. But mm-hmm. we understand that. So, like when I see people out in public, I don't know if they do this to you as well, Denise. Where y'all at?
Right.
What you been doing? What's going on? I'm like, a teensy weensy bit.
Right. If someone had the audacity to say, what happened? Y'all fell out. No, he didn't.
Right. Somebody did say that to y'all. And I'm like, wait, what?
No. It's called life. And we're busy. Yes. Let's punctuate that by saying this part too. Real friends, those who you know who are truly down for you, could not see you for months. And you pick right back up exactly yep. where you left off. That's how you know you got real ones in your life, okay?
That's true.
Because they yeah. also understand that life is life.
It is. It really is. It really is.
It is.
Yep. So we are. We here. We back.
We back.
The flesh is here. The blood still flowing through our veins. So we back.
Right. And these joints are a little rickety with this cold weather. God, I like to. I got an elbow and a knee that acting real special. I can tell when cold weather coming.
So it's time for you to just transition on over to the Black Girl Vitamins. I can say I have more. I have not had this much energy in a long time outside of a Red Bull boost. So I will say this. I don't promote things ever. Mm-hmm. They work. They work.
Okay.
So definitely all Black Girl Vitamins, the probiotics, sea moss pills, the omega 3, mm-hmm. and it's another one that I take. I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't remember. It's done. But I will say that they work.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I will share that I do the sea moss that you don't like, the elderberry It does work well. Trust me.
Yes.
That stuff works great. So just, you know, try to, which we're going holistic, you know, yes, we depend on certain medications, but holistically is the way to go, especially since, you know, insurance. We'll talk about that later. So let's jump right into it. We want to let everybody know the second quarter is over, parents. It actually ended on the 16th. And then Friday was the start of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So as it was really weird because the quarter literally began on a Friday. But so don't expect to have the kids turn in any work on Tuesday because the quarter's over, right? And a lot of like our kids, I know, are going to be taking, I think, additional tests and exams if they have failed. So think, parents, go back and look at your child's report card. If they have that DF or FD combination, you should know that exams are coming, and you should know that they need to do something, whether it's ELP, after school tutoring, something to pull those grades back up, because we want them to have what they need, which leads into attendance too, but we'll get into that in a second. So now, what's some tips we have for our parents? What's some tips?
So one tip is that make sure your child is at school every day and on time. Mm-hmm. Statistics show that the more time that they're out of the classroom and missing instructional time, that increases their possibilities of being a dropout.
Yes.
That's just a fact. And we'll go back in. Dog, I forgot to add that to our one of our images to show when the stats are there. We can't change that. The numbers are the numbers. So I think they said something like if they miss more than a month, like mm-hmm. it increases by years too. It's not like something simple to say if they miss a day, it might take them 2 or 3 years to be considered behind. No, it's like an immediate result. Mm-hmm. So therefore, parents, make sure your children are in school every day and on time. Yes, we know there are going to be situations and times where the child just cannot be to school. But any other time, don't give them that. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. And mental health days should not be 2 and 3 days every month. No.
Correct. And interestingly, in that, I also had some facts here. This is one, and this is across the nation, by the way, 1 out of every 6 children are chronically absent. And that's really bad. I mean, you could say 1 out of 20, 1 out of 30, 1 out of every 6. It is worse for, of course, children of color, children with disabilities, and also children with chronic health conditions. So it's already bad to know that a child has an illness, but that keeps them out of school. You know, the ability to make that thing up and stuff like that, it pushes them behind. And of course, now, even though we deal predominantly with the middle school kids, the highest rate of those are in high school. So, and then now I want you to understand something, the correlation between hardship or poverty and absenteeism. So the lower down you are on the socioeconomic ladder, the more absent days that you will have. And then some of the causes, of course, would include things like bullying. Some kids just don't come to school because they feel bullied, right? Other kids don't come to school because of the health problems. And then, of course, the one major factor is, well, I'm just lazy today. My mom is going to let me not come to school. And so before long, you don't realize that you've missed 20 days of school in a 45-day quarter. So that's half the quarter. And you have no really valid excuse, and now you failed again. So parents, we need you to understand the importance of having that child come to school. There'll be kids who will say, well, I was out sick. You have to understand, I hear that you're out sick, but the school provides all these avenues and ways to get in touch with you. Hey, let me tell you something. I went over with 6 kids. I thought that they would just fail in my class, right? I went over with them, their grades. Come to find out, they were failing every single class but PE. How, as a parent, do you not know that? And
I have something to add to that on the opposite side of this.
Uh-huh.
With high school, now, I know in elementary and middle school, in most cases,
mm-hmm.
you have a flood of communications because I'm going to get there too. Maybe we interpret contract differently. Mm-hmm. But in middle school and elementary school, we are required to pick up the phone and call the parent when their child is at risk of failing.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, that is not the case. They don't call. Hmm. They put information in Canva and they like, whatever. You could call, reach out to the teachers via email. They basically say, this is what it is.
Right.
And go figure that thing out. Mm-hmm. It don't matter if them kids got IEPs, elemental P's, 504s, 212s. The response level is totally different, which is crazy to me. Reaching out to ESC specialists,
mm-hmm.
very mediocre responses. Like, I heard about it from when Alicia was speaking of it,
mm-hmm.
but I just could not have imagined it being like this.
At the rate that it is.
So I can see why there's a lot of communication breakdown and students being told at 11:59 that they're not graduating because the level of the amount of lack of communication that is I'm receiving from 2 different institutions, 2 different schools
mm-hmm.
is insane.
Now, let me ask you to play devil's advocate. Let me ask this question. Could it also be a problem in terms of resources? Okay, I know we got one counselor that serves the entire school. If that person is busy one day with one child, everybody else, it shuts down for everybody else.
I don't know.
And now, that's another aspect of it that I look at. Okay, well, but also I will go back to the point I was making earlier. Also, when I sat with those kids and I went over the grades and I said, you're failing all classes except for PE, right? But when I opened up Canvas, I said, do you realize you have 42 messages, 32 messages, 50 something messages, and the teachers were actually sending you work, sending you assignments, giving you the work that you need. So, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, we have to make sure that at some point in time, too, the kids have that responsibility to say, you know, people trying to help you. People been trying to help you according to your paperwork, according to your 504, according to your IEP. This is the additional time, the extended time that we've given you. But yet, there it is. So I try to tell the kids all the time, just like you check a phone, check messages, check your Canvas, constantly do that. And this goes out to parents too. Parents check. You should be checking all the time because there it is. It's right there. There's no reason why we can sit there for 9 weeks and not know at some point in time the child was failing. And, you know, in terms of communication, I think we do a really good job of communicating. It's just, it always seems to be a shock, especially when, and parents, just to give you a heads up, we know when you're logging. So just, you know, don't always say that I'm always checking. That's not necessarily true because we can see when you log in. Okay, so we just want you to stay as active as you want us to be as active. You know,
and then also be certain to get those parent view accounts up and going. Parent view definitely can create a new level of communication with your children when it comes to attendance because parent view that is accurate. That attendance part is accurate. Hold on, someone's ringing my doorbell.
Yeah, so just to pick what she's saying, there, you know, please understand something. The more, I know sometimes it seems overbearing. I mean, my sister showed me recently how many notifications she gets from her school, and it's just, you know, it's amazing. But you know, remember, it's the effort to communicate with you, and it may seem like a lot, but at the same time, you will be up to date, and you'll know everything that you need to know with regards to your child, right?
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So one thing for certain, two things for sure. Canva, Parent View, know your child's counselors, know your child's administrator. Because a lot of times, I can speak from the high school perspective now, it is not an easy bout. So as I continue my journey on Tuesday to now roll up to both schools to figure out what we're doing, because what we can't do is act like, these children became young adults when they walked on the campus in ninth grade, not mine anyway. So therefore, whoever, look, I can, anyway, I'm going to stop. Before I roll back into my normal, I said I wasn't going to speak from a personal place while we're in this space, but I will say it's a bunch of foolishness going on. Foolishness. Two different schools.
Wow. Let me tell you, what I will throw out there is parents, just understand something. You know, when you're at the end of the quarter, when everybody tries to rush and shove a whole bunch of work at teachers, you know, a lot of us are reluctant to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to take work that you gave me that you owed me 4 weeks ago. It's a burden on the teachers. It's a lot on the teachers. But also just keep in mind, every time that child gets past the third grade and they're not at reading level, it's going to be harder. Every single year is going to be harder and harder and harder for those children. Please have them come to school. It is imperative. And then, you know, it'll reduce a lot of stress because when it comes to times taking tests, taking assessments, you know, just even following along with the basic curriculum, they will not be so, they won't fight the class all the time. It won't constantly be a disruption because they're following along. They understand what concept was taught last week and week to week and day to day. So just wanted to throw that out there and share with y'all on that particular aspect. So again, yeah, parents, you can advocate for your child. You can be a spokesperson for your child, but please come to the school respectfully. You know, we can advocate for our child in a respectful manner. We can do that. You know, you can be peaceful and respectful at the same time doing that, right? Because we all, think about it, we all want to serve and be able to get to a positive place of resolution with our kids. That's what we really want to do. So, let's talk about tomorrow. tomorrow, the only thing to me of significance tomorrow is the fact that it is MLK Day. However, we do know and we are aware. Are you ready to transition to that point, April? We good? We do know and we are
aware. I'm good. I just want us to... We understand tomorrow is MLK Day. Mm-hmm. We understand that the significance of why that day was identified for a remembrance and for holiday purposes. And we know, like, you're getting ready to transition to into saying what also tomorrow is. Mm-hmm. And even I would just start by saying this. I know you dive into the politics much more than I do. Mm-hmm. That's your you and Daddy's second thing of favor. So that's why I made sure I put it there for you to have space mm-hmm. to talk about it. You know mm-hmm. how much to say on it, because I don't get too caught up in politics. Right. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, regardless of how we as a nation move forward, one thing we just all need to be mindful of is that everybody is human mm-hmm. and that we all have something called a heartbeat that keeps us alive and blood that flows through our veins. So treat people with respect. I'll just say that. And you can have at it, Denise.
No, actually, you know, actually I wanted to start off by talking about, okay, we know why, you know, because remember, people always need a little history lesson real quick. Why we have Martin Luther King Day, okay? Why, what is the significance of it? Because people will say an extra holiday. Why do people want to add this on here? Let me just go back a little bit, right? It's all about the civil rights movement. And then as we talk about the civil rights movement, we're going to move on and talk about what's happening in right now in 2025, right? So with the civil rights movement, we're going to take it all the way back to the 1800s, right? We have Plessy versus Ferguson, which allowed the separate but equal type thing happening with people of color and white people in this country, right? That's all that Jim Crowism going on. Moving forward, you had the executive
order. Did you say Jim Crowism?
Jim Crowism. I did say Jim Crowism. Ism. But tell your kids, look up those pictures with a water fountain, the black only and color only water fountains, all that stuff like that. Look, then you had World War II, which came out a little later down in 1941, right? You had those two executive orders. First one was about the equal employment, because what you need, all these men going off the war, well, you need to hire somebody, and they allowed, now all of a sudden you're allowing black people to work, right? Then the other executive order was 9981, which ended discrimination in the military. So now you have that more inclusivity now, right? Coming forward now, after that, you're looking at in 1956, because I had to write stuff down, make sure I was right. I don't want to have anybody come back and tell me my facts are wrong. 1956, you had the bus boycott, right? That after Rosa Parks. So it was 381 days, and it lasted from December 55 to December 56. And to me, that was the last big time we as a people were kind of like, we together on one particular movement, right? Brown versus Broder Education in 1957, we know all about that with the desegregation of the schools, right? So keep in mind, as I'm going through them, right? Keep in mind things that seem to be rolling back, right? Then you had the Civil Rights Act of 1957, which barred people from stopping people from voting. So they wouldn't, like, they get there or they threaten you and they tell you you can't come and vote, right? Then 1961, that's when the Freedom Riders had that horrific situation where one guy, black guy, and another black guy and the white guy, they both were killed, and those people said they didn't know where they were. 1963 was the March on Washington. 64 was the Civil Rights Act that Kennedy brought out. But then he was assassinated right before it happened, right? Bloody Sunday was 1965. That was the summer to Montgomery March. And right after that, a white officer had killed a black man. And then 65 was the Voting Rights Act, which banned the literacy part of it. Remember, they told you, if you can't read, you can't vote, right? Or I need you to interpret what the vote was, right? And bring it all the way up to 1968, which is the Fair Housing Act. I say all of that to say this. All those things we talked about, right, that I just mentioned off right there, all those things are being affected right now as we move into 2025. Okay? So, just letting you know, okay? Let's talk about that. What's going to happen? You got a comment before I even move on?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. So, and the reason why I wanted to start with that was just because of historically, what is happening as we move forward. You know, we can't predict the future. We have no clue what's going to happen. Let's just take today, for example. TikTok went down for all those people losing their mind over TikTok, right? It went down, it shut down. It didn't affect me because I never had it, right? But it went down. It was told it was going to be completely banned. 24 hours later, it came back on. So, so what occurred? What happened? We don't know. Just understand.
I was telling the kids that's rich people problems. We'll never know.
Exactly.
We don't even live in that realm of richness.
Exactly.
Not financially wise. Right. So while they so caught up in, oh, it's gone, it's left, it's da 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 da.
Right.
The only people that really, in my opinion, that should have been so caught up in that is the ones that was going to it was going to affect their finances.
Financially.
Influences. But other than that.
Correct.
I could care less.
Right. Correct. And that's what I was saying. I was like, well, it's interesting to me that it went off, but it came back on. Because I know that it would destroy a lot of people's livelihood because their entire livelihood is made off of that. But anyway, so, you know, there's going to be more to come based upon that. But when I went over a lot of things to talk about the history of it, right, let's look at the disparities as we see moving forward based upon this new appointment, this new presidency, the new cabinet, the things that are going to be taking place. And I just want to point out a few key ones that stood out to me, especially in terms of how it relates to education, right? So
and hold on, please, let me put out this disclaimer before we begin. These are not personal opinions in this case. These are factual, data-driven, research-based information that has been collected from solid resources without us going into details about that. This is not opinionated, so please don't come on board attacking, if you think about it, because we didn't make this up. This is information that is provided out there in the world if you want to do your due diligence and research it. Okay,
exactly. And I was going to also say that everything that I will speak on and everything that we have spoken about so far, you can actually fact check it. You can get the data. It's there. It is on several news sources, right? So but remember, as it pertains to us as educators, the first one we have to look at is education, right? So the first thing right now, we are looking at the Department of Education. There is a particular person who has been appointed so far. This is person has been selected to run the Department of Education. And one of the things that we're looking at is the top three things that affect it. One, health in education, how it's going to become the children's health, right? In terms of, well, will we be allowed to have, you know, like how we went through 2020, will vaccines be available? How will that affect the teachers if the children are being told or said they cannot be vaccinated? So we have Robert Kennedy Jr., who is going to be over that particular department for health and health services. So that affects us. Because remember, even when kids go play sports, they need to have certain shots and things, certain records and things like that, right? Under Department of Education, you also have to think about things like food, right? So what's coming up right now, what's being placed on the table is plans that may potentially eliminate school meal programs. And you know that affects a lot of children. Also the new nutrition standards, as well as an end to, of course, processed foods that are being put out there for our kids, right? So this is all tied to, you gotta work with me now, right? This is tied to commerce, right? Because in 2030, we're gonna have a census that's gonna be taken. And one of the potential census areas on the census is gonna be a line for whether or not you're a citizen, right? So if you are not a citizen, as a number count, you cannot be counted as being someone, you know, who's in the particular population when it relates to school, which means that affects Title I funding, that affects the National School Lunch Program, that affects Head Start, right? So now we don't have to give you funds because 30% of the kids are actually technically not legal citizens. So now we don't have to give you that much money for lunch because the rest of the kids should be able to afford it. So you see how things are all tied together. So if you, again, do your research, because one thing is like dominoes, you know, one thing when you hit one domino, it goes, all the other ones fall down. So pay attention to what's, who is being selected for cabinet. Pay attention to what it's going to happen in the future potentially, and just, you know, just be mindful. look at what's happening within the communities. How does it affect you? That's what you need to say to yourself. How is this ultimately going to affect me and my household, and whether or not I'm going to need to be rationing more, whether I'm not going to be need to be planning for my future a little bit better. Is this going to affect me because I also am a recipient of these different services, especially Head Start, especially the school lunch programs, things like that. So again, it's factual information. It is out there. You need to pay attention to how your future will be affected by that. So again, that's what we're looking at in terms of as we move forward. So just always stay alert. That's all we gotta say, stay alert and understand, not just now, and that was me talking nationally, right? We need to look at it now locally. What's going on here? Who are your, we just had an election, just went through an election season, right? Who are your, and that's the question I'm posing out there to the community. I don't know if we can see anybody responding or anything like that, but who are your local representatives? Who is over your district, your school district? Who is your state representative? You know, who speaks for you? Who do you know who to reach out to if you have a problem within your community? You know, who's your chief of police? Who's your, find out those things. Those things are very important, because any actions that, and as you see, our communities are changing, demographically they're changing, in terms of housing, they're changing. In terms of the things being built around, especially around East Tampa, especially around, you see changes in Tampa. You see changes everywhere. Brandon, everywhere has some particular kind of change. So pay attention to who is controlling and affecting those changes in your community. Go ahead, April.
And just like Denise said, be intentional about paying attention to those changes. Mm-hmm. If you don't, they will change, and then there's nothing you can do to be vocal about those changes. So don't wait till the last minute to become interested, because when you wake up and see what's going on, it will possibly be too late.
Yes.
Because as we know, I believe it's 56% of our housing is not owned by individual families anymore.
Correct.
It's no longer. Yes. So therefore, again, and that snuck up, I do believe, to mm-hmm. the majority here in the Tampa Bay area. I was laying in New York City and saw that come across the newscast when they identify a company that mm-hmm. had purchased up, it was like 40-something percent at the time.
Yeah.
But then that other percentage, you know, added up to this 56%. So long story short, don't sell grandma and them house.
Right. Right. And you look, think in your mind, think of a piece of pizza, a whole pizza, right? 50%. That means you will be a let's put it in terms everybody understand. You will be a lifelong renter.
Right.
You will never own property. If corporations own 50% of all housing, that means you can't buy. You'll never be able to buy a house. You'll never be able to buy something that creates generational wealth for your family. Think about it in terms of that.
Right now, like
when you're selling grandma's house, you don't realize if five of y'all went in there and just fixed the railing and fix up the stairs and maybe get a little bathroom, a little upgrade, y'all got someplace to live. But now you're selling it for chump change. I can't tell you, April, I don't know how many you get in the mail or how many text messages they send you. But these people still ain't nowhere near the value I want for my house. I said, you're missing a whole bunch of zeros.
When they selling homes in my neighborhood for $300,000, I'm like, where's the way? Where?
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 A shoebox.
Because it's the same neighborhood that I live in. There's no way it could be worth $300,000. Where? Why?
There are $500,000 houses on Columbus Avenue.
Right. Why?
$500,000.
It's the same neighborhood, the same square footage, the same houses outside of the Minecraft house, which are atrociously the most hideous things they could allow to be built in the community, and then create problems from previous owners where the flooding is beyond belief.
Yeah.
And the city don't want to take any ownership for that, but I digress.
Mm-hmm. Because the zoning... yes, it's zoned residential, but it's how it's built, as right. opposed to the aesthetic of the community. How are we going to have a Cuban style house, a beautiful like 1950s style house, a 70s style house, that they all pretty much flow with the aesthetic, and then this Roblox house?
that's about 50 towers high. And then when it rains, those big blocks don't allow for anything to come around it or flow underneath it like the other homes. So all it does is flood out the other houses in the on the street.
It's
like
it's
crazy. But so, hey,
that's what they want.
So
anyway, the people that can't buy it, but you're gonna be renting it for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
That's what it is. So yeah, I mean, look, I am just for me, I am. Let's just say, going forward, right, into the future, especially just even here in Tampa, all throughout the United States, I am hopeful and happy and positive that, you know, we will be stronger to, as a people. I think this will be a time where we just come together and learn to just live well, you know, because it'll be, when food prices go up or gas go up or everything like that, that's when we're going to truly learn the meaning of community. So just like the old African proverb that used to say, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village for all of us.
At this point, yes.
Right. You got some eggs over there? You know what I'm saying?
What you got?
Because it's like, I mean, I don't know about you, but have you noticed slowly how food goes up? I mean, when did eggs get to be $5? When did...
And when you say eggs, the only thing I can think about is that the black chick that has the farm with the llama.
Yes.
You say the funky butt hut.
The fluffy butt hut. Fluffy butt hut. Yeah, and her baby, which is the toughest, roughest egg wrangler in the city.
Yes. But, we gotta get some chickens and get some eggs laid out.
Listen, I'm about to pay one goat and at least two chickens. I think I'm claiming on my taxes. Now I got a farm.
Right.
But I'm telling you, stuff just seems, you know, just like with, and I can compare it back to education, just like with the gap, the widening gap in education and how you see, it didn't happen overnight that prices got like that. It slowly crept up on people that prices just got like that, because it's just amazing to me how food prices are. Gas goes up and down. Food, though, it's like, do you choose to have this much meat, or are we going to be vegetarian dinner tonight because of the price of food right now? That is amazing. So, and I just was in the store like, okay. Yeah, and you know how it's bad? When my parents will say, this is expensive. And you know, in the Caribbean, everything expensive, right?
Right.
So when you see somebody coming from another place where food is already high and they come to the U.S. and say, why the eggs so hot? You know it's bad. Because I know I've paid $9 for Oreos in the Virgin Islands before.
Okay? Yes, that freaked me out the first time I said. I was like, wait, what's going on with these prices here? What's happening?
Right,
$10 for some shampoo? Wait, what? $12 for some deodorant? Who?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, it ain't no joke, okay? It is not fun. So, but like I said, I feel confident about it. We are happy and excited to be back, everybody. Yes, we ain't fall out like people claim to say. What's wrong with people? I don't know.
Absolutely not. So we are excited. Our next time that we are back here, it will be February, and you know that the Sunshine Education Coalition hosts their annual the state of the black child. I think that's what we initially anchored it in being. Mm-hmm. And this year we are honoring the past, shaping the future. And our theme is black excellence in education.
Yes.
And we will be featuring our third Sunday event on February the 16th, 2025. But we have weekly talking points, and we're structuring it a little bit different this year because it takes us so much time and energy.
Yes.
To schedule and try to get people to come on and talk with us and share their level of experience and expertise. And unfortunately, it's not always done with the same level of energy and excitement that we have. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we figure, okay, we're going to put our weekly thoughts out, our weekly themes out there. Anybody that wants to jump on and say that they would like to be a part of the discussion, up to two people, you inbox us, let us know, and we'll get you the link. But this year, we're not pumping and priming and looking for and researching and Can you come? Can you come? We're not doing that this year.
And then at the last minute, people might cancel. Things might happen.
And that happened way too much.
Too many. It happened way too often. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's better to have people just jump on in. You know, you're welcome to jump on in. Like I say, every third Sunday we will be on. Welcome to jump on in and share your thoughts and opinions. Like I said, we are here to provide the facts. We're going to give you to the best of our ability, we will give you the facts. I only thing I missed, April, that I wanted to talk about, I forgot, was the school calendar. But you know,
yes.
I can't say, what I would suggest to everybody is the school calendar, go online, because that has the most updated version of it. Because the physical calendar that we received, remember, we had hurricanes and things, so a lot of days shifted around. So we want you to make sure you go to the Hillsborough County Public School website. And please check the calendar there. And also you can click on your schools. Every school has a website. You have up-to-date information about every single event or when grades come out, all that stuff like that. And please, of course, as you see scrolling on our screen, please visit our website at sunshineeducationcoalition.org. And also, just say hey.
Yeah. So the information will definitely be there, and we are going to post the calendar, tag it to this post, the link. And yeah, so we're back, guys. We don't want to go too far over our time frame, because we're going to stick to our hour, no more than 15 minutes over, and we're coming up on that. So again, have a phenomenal, phenomenal week. And remember, the new quarter has started, or the second semester has started. Mm-hmm. So again, your child has the opportunity to jump right in, a new mindset, new opportunity to demonstrate that they are capable and willing to learn every day in the classroom.
Yes.
Did you say yes?
That's a yes, because they need to be there and they need to focus. Less talkies, more water. That's all I got to say.
Yes. Anything with that E40 red and that deep, what is it, in that blue?
It'll tear them up.
Look, it's time to let it go. They are going into the hospitals with all types of stomach cramps, but ulcers. We will not start a new conversation. But again, mm-hmm. y'all have a fabulous week. And until next time, bye.
Bye.